The portion of God's Word on which we meditate this morning is Psalm 23. I invite you to read responsively with me Psalm 23. It's on page 177 in the front of the hymnal. We will read it responsively by whole verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Please be seated. When you were a very young child, maybe one of the most scary things that you can remember was finding yourself without your parents when you really, really needed them there. You woke up in the middle of the night, in the middle of a nightmare, screaming, and what is it that you wanted? You wanted mom or dad right there with you. In the grocery store, all of a sudden, you look around and you realize mom's not there anymore, and you got pretty scared. You're in a crowd, and all of a sudden, you can't find dad's hand to hold on to, and panic sets in. Now, as parents, I think those fears are reversed somewhat. As dad, I was the one that got pretty panicked when that little hand slipped out of mine in a crowd. But for this morning, just for a few minutes, let's think like children. Take yourself back to when you were that scared little child. In order to meditate on this familiar psalm, think about yourself as being frightened and helpless. But then be assured, your shepherd is with you. I suppose it would be more accurate to say, think of yourself as a frightened, helpless little sheep, because we're talking about Jesus, our Savior, as our shepherd. Sheep are interesting creatures. What do you think of when you think of sheep? Maybe you think of them as being, well, at least I used to think of them as being kind of stupid. They're not terribly bright. They tend to be kind of skittish, but that's not why Scripture compares us to sheep, saying that we're stupid or dumb. No, Scripture uses sheep as a comparison to us because sheep need to be led. They need to be led to food and to water and to safety and security and rest. It's a good thing then that your shepherd is with you to lead you and to provide for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's quite easy, though, for us to take that for granted, to take that lack of want for granted. We live in the United States, after all. We're a prosperous country. We're pretty well off. Sure, our economy hasn't been that great the last few years, and don't know when it's going to bounce back completely. But still, comparatively, compared to many people in this world, we are pretty well off. To many people in this world, we will be and always are rich Americans. And quite often, we tend to take that for granted. Now, I don't say that to make you feel guilty for what you have, to make you feel like you need to go and sell everything that you have and send everything that you don't really need to someone in a poor country. My point is this: when we take for granted what we have, we tend to forget who gave it to us in the first place. We forget that it is our shepherd who provides for us so that we're not in want. And how about how he also provides for us spiritually? And yet, do we take that for granted also? When's the last time you were listening to a sermon and your mind was just kind of wandering off a little bit? Or when's the last time that we went up to celebrate communion and we weren't really prepared to receive the body and blood of our Lord? When's the last time that we failed to recall our baptisms when we were wondering if God really could or would forgive us for a particular sin? We dare not think that such sins of taking God's word for granted go unnoticed by our Lord. And yet our shepherd continues to provide for us so that we're not in want. His very body and blood, the body and blood that he sacrificed on the cross, he gives that to us in his Holy Supper, and through that forgives us of our sins, even the sin of not being prepared to take it worthily. In that word that sometimes we don't really listen to with as much attention as we should, in that same word, he gives us forgiveness of our sins. He takes and retakes us to the green pastures of his word so that we need never go hungry. He restores our soul through our baptisms as we are refreshed and renewed every day so that we can serve him with joyful thanks. On our own, we don't know where those green pastures and still waters of his word are. As sheep of our loving shepherd, we need to be led to them. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He leads us as he provides for us. And your shepherd is also with you to protect you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, we've already talked about us being in potentially scary situations as people, especially little children, feeling frightened and helpless. But what about as little sheep? Maybe we can apply the same things. If a little lamb gets separated from its flock, it's pretty much defenseless. It's not like its cuteness or its soft wool is going to be much protection against any kind of wild animal. And that's, again, where our shepherd comes in, well, more than handy, primarily with his rod. This rod that David mentions is the big club that a shepherd had with him to fend off the attacks of wild animals, to protect his sheep. It doesn't sound like much just to have a club. If you were to go up against a lion with just a club, maybe you wouldn't feel that confident. But shepherds could handle themselves very well with their rod, with their club. They could protect their sheep against all kinds of dangers. And your shepherd Jesus, fights even harder to protect you from all kinds of harm. Now, you may never even see a lion, except perhaps in a zoo, but you are constantly in harm's way regardless. Peter writes in his first letter, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Now, keep that picture in your head for just a moment. There you are, a little sheep. You're happy being in this flock, and yet, well, you start to kind of wander off just a little bit, and you're okay because you can still see your flock and your shepherd not too far away. And so you keep going and maybe you wander just a little more, but oh, you can still see them. They're getting farther away, but it's okay. And then you find this really great patch of grass, and you get so caught up in eating that grass that next thing you know, you look up and you can't even see the flock anymore. You can't see your shepherd. You can't hear his voice any longer. The only thing you can hear is a deep-throated growl behind you, getting closer and closer, and your heart really starts to race. Have you heard the devil's growls lately? Have you felt the devil prowling around the outskirts of your mind, looking for a chance to pounce, looking for a chance to come and separate you from your shepherd? When that realization comes, when you repent, that is, of your sin, of wandering off from the flock, from your shepherd comes to you and he scoops you up in his powerful arms and he assures you that you're okay. He tells you you're forgiven. He comforts you with his presence. And he calms you, and you vow never to wander off again. Your shepherd is with you. Notice those words again that come in the middle of this psalm. For you are with me. Our shepherd is present with us all the time. He's present with us in his word, in his sacraments. He constantly provides everything that you ever need, not just physically, but especially spiritually. And he also constantly protects you so that you can say with David, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.